You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you who are calling and writing WWCR. You must continue to call and write, and you must continue until an announcement is made, either that I'm not going to get that spot or I am going to get that spot. If I'm not, it's just like I told you before. And some of you are calling in, and apparently somebody named Dennis at WWCR, and maybe someone else, is not telling you the truth. What I told you the other night is absolutely the truth. For the last 4 years, I have been asking WWCR for an earlier time slot. Unbelievably, even though people come and go on the different frequencies all the time, they have never been able to find an earlier time slot for the Hour of the Time. And I am now finding out that it is intentional. Because at the same time, for those same 4 years, ladies and gentlemen, for all of those 4 years, I told Adam Locke and George McClintock that if Tom Valentine ever went off the air for whatever reason, and I never wished it on him ever, I would not do that, I believe in free speech, folks, but if he ever left the air for any reason, that I wanted those 2 hours that he has traditionally held. And I was told that if Tom Valentine ever left the air, I would be the first one that they would call to take that time slot. Well, Tom Valentine has announced his retirement, ladies and gentlemen. And when he announced his retirement, I tried to get that time slot, and George McClintock told me, with no reservations whatsoever, that the Hour of the Time is too controversial to put on at an earlier time slot, that I definitely could not have that time slot under any circumstances, and that that radio audience was more conservative. How in the world could anybody be more conservative than the Hour of the Time? Anyway, it's a bullshit answer, and it's a lie. Simply because of this, ladies and gentlemen, I may be on at midnight on the East Coast, but I'm on at 9 p.m. on the West Coast. So the allegation that that earlier time slot belongs to a more conservative audience, or an audience that can't handle the Hour of the Time, just simply cannot be true. It isn't true. You see, because while I'm on at midnight right now on the East Coast, I'm on at 11 Central, 10 Mountain, and 9 Pacific Time. So if I were to go on 2 hours earlier, ladies and gentlemen, I would be on at 10 Eastern. Now tell me, is the 10 Eastern audience more conservative than the 9 Pacific audience? I don't think so. And if you want to make somebody mad, just get liberals listening to this broadcast, which is what makes up most of the West Coast. The People's Republic of California, have you ever heard of it? So, George McClintock, you're way off base. You're trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes, but you can't hoodwink me, and I don't care how angry you get. I don't even care if you throw me off the air. I've already given you notice. You see, any broadcasting station that will take my premium top dollar that I've been paying for this spot for the last 4 years and make all the promises and tell me all the things that you people have told me and then do this does not warrant loyalty from me or from my broadcast, and I mean it. If I don't get those 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen, I am finished with WWCR. I'm already talking to other people. I'm talking to a couple of networks. I'm talking to other broadcasting stations. And if worse comes to worse, I'll just broadcast on satellite. That's where I started, and that may be where I end up, and I really don't care. The word will get out. And I still have Veritas, the newspaper. I'm still an excellent writer, and I can still troop this country and speak from every stump that I can find. So, if you want me in those 2 hours that have been vacated by Tom Valentine, you need to write WWCR. And don't stop writing. And if you haven't written yet, write. And keep writing. And keep calling until they understand what their audience really wants and who their audience really is. This broadcast has the largest shortwave audience in the entire world, bar none. An idiot audience that big deserves to have this broadcast at an earlier time slot where the audience can better take advantage of the information, the documentation, and the sources that we give out on the hour of the time. Especially on the East Coast. Because of our broadcast time on the East Coast, a lot of people never hear this broadcast, and that may be the real intent of the management of WWCR. Here's the address, WWCR 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218, USA. That's WWCR 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218. One problem with this, folks, is that the communists in this country are putting pressure on WWCR to keep me at a late time. And there's a lot of pressure not even to have me on the air, I can assure you, and that always occurs and always has occurred. Also, the communists at the United Nations Broadcasting Radio Show, the Communists for Peace International, Radio for Peace International, or is it really Communists for Peace International? Anyway, they're the biggest bunch of bullshit, lying, two-faced, scum-sucking puke pigs that I've ever heard in my life. They started a few weeks ago a write-in campaign to WWCR to get this broadcast off the air. Most of you don't know about that. So you're going to have to write, and you're going to have to make your wishes known, and you're going to have to come up with more letters and more reasons and more people than the bullshit artists from the communist propaganda portions of the United States of America. If you want to continue to hear the truth, if you want to continue to hear it documented and sourced, if you want to get the real facts, if you want to get the real news from this broadcast, the hour of the time, then you're going to have to get off your lazy butt, and you're going to have to write a letter. And you're going to have to write another letter, and another letter, and another letter, until you make people understand that they need to listen to you. So do it. WWCR, 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218. That's WWCR, 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218. Do it, ladies and gentlemen. Just trust in God and do it. That's the way I live my life. Okay. Also, I don't know who this Dennis guy is or why he's telling you that I didn't talk to Adam or that George McClinic did not tell me no, but that's just a barefaced lie. George McClinic told me no on the telephone right before he went on vacation to my face through the telephone. He said, no, you cannot have that time slot for the reasons that I've already given you, folks. I then talked to Adam Locke a little bit later, and that was a little over a week ago. And I told Adam Locke, you have 30 days notice. 30 days notice. If I don't get that time slot, this broadcast is off WWCR. History. Somebody at WWCR named Dennis is denying all this. Well, you can deny it all you want to, Dennis. It happens to be the truth. I don't tell lies. All you get on this broadcast is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And now.
The theory is that an asteroid smashed into Mars 15 million years ago, knocking pieces of the planet into space. About 13,000 years ago, one of those chunks landed at Earth's South Pole, carrying a message from Mars.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you just heard. I'm not sure what you just heard. I don't know what's going through your minds, ladies and gentlemen. But I can tell you this is what I heard.
Beware the Astro Zombies. They mutilate, they torture, they kill. Spine-tingling horror, unspeakable shock, and breathless excitement will grip you as you watch living organs ripped from the bodies of voluptuous females, as beating hearts and throbbing brains are transplanted to create the Astro Zombies. Cringe in terror, scream in fright, as these skull-faced monsters strike blindly at living flesh, and the motion picture screen flows in the blood-drenched wake of the Astro Zombies. The beautiful, voluptuous, deadly, vicious Satana, a woman who would stop at nothing to gain control over the Astro Zombies, whose creed was kill, kill, kill. John Carradine as the deranged scientist, Wendell Corey as the doctor who opposes him, Matt Whip in this bloody, sadistic, terror-filled, suspense-laden horror film of brutal mutilations and senseless killing, as the Astro Zombies go berserk and threaten the city with death. Watch it as you die a thousand deaths. The Astro Zombies in color, coming soon to your local theater.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Didn't I predict this, ladies and gentlemen? They must convince you that there is life on other planets. But this is the biggest bullshit hoax of all. I mean, this takes the cake, ladies and gentlemen. This comes from NASA. This comes from NASA. NASA, the great hoax perpetrator. The great photograph faker. NASA, the great liar. Oh, boy. Isn't this something? NASA. Here is an agency, ladies and gentlemen, that we have proven has faked one photograph. One photograph? How about two photographs? How about three photographs? How about four photographs, folks? We've proven that they have faked four photographs of the supposed Apollo landing on the moon, of spacewalks by astronauts. How about five photographs? Five? That's not enough. How about 10? How about 50? We have proven that they have faked 50 photographs. That's not good enough for you? Well, how about 100? We have proven beyond any shadow of any doubt, and not just me, and not just Renee, and not just many others, countless thousands of people have proven that NASA has faked literally hundreds, not 100, not 200, not 300, but hundreds, so many they can't be counted, are fake, phony, and even the grossest amateur can spot the fake pictures once somebody clues them in. You would be amazed, since I've done the broadcasts on the phony, fake information that NASA has given us about the supposed Apollo moon landings and the NASA official photographs of the Apollo moon landings and the spacewalks by the astronauts and all this other baloney that they've been feeding us for years. You would be amazed at how many people who don't have any background in photography, who don't know anything about space or physics or rocket science or anything else, have gone to their own libraries and pulled out NASA's own publications containing those pictures and have sat there and laughed and laughed and laughed and rolled on the floor once they spotted it with their own eyes. And then they wrote us hundreds and thousands of letters telling us how they have confirmed themselves that NASA's photographs of the Apollo moon landings and of spacewalks and all kinds of things are fake, phony. And now what have we got? Well, we've got this guy named Hoagland. Hoagland. Oh, Mr. Hoagland is trying to convince us that based upon proof found in NASA photographs, there's an ancient city and a face on the planet Mars. Ho, ho, ho. And what has he found? That they all have mathematical relationships that are directly linked to the mystery religion of the Fraternal Orders of Mystery Babylon, Freemasonry, etc. Wow. And I predicted it all years ago. Predicted every single bit of it. I predicted it on this radio broadcast, and you've all watched it come true. And now, NASA, the great lying space agency, is now coming out to tell you that they found a rock the size of a potato in Antarctica, which proves that there's life on Mars. Well, how did they arrive at that? Well, they say that this little potato-shaped rock came from Mars. How do they know that? Well, they say they've compared it to other meteorites that came from Mars. But nobody has asked them yet, how do they know the other ones came from Mars? It's the biggest bullshit con job hoax, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going right along, and the whole object of it is to perpetuate the creation of a threat from space for which all humanity will have to unite to oppose that threat. And it will also bring huge sums of money to NASA so that they can send more missions to Mars and perpetuate the big wasteful space program welfare structure, just like the Pharaoh did with the ancient pyramids to keep the poor and the slaves and the great population of Egypt working toward a common goal rather than revolt against the Pharaoh. Oh, brother. It is absolutely amazing.
A team of scientists who've been studying it have come to the dramatic conclusion that these tubular structures lodged in clay inside the meteorite represent life, fossilized bacterial forms 3.6 billion years old. But they are being very careful to say that is just their opinion.
Lodged in clay, ladies and gentlemen. Lodged in clay. Inside this little potato-shaped rock, there's clay. And they claim the clay had to come from Mars. Well, how about if the clay came from wherever the meteorite was sitting for the last however many years it was sitting in Antarctica? Because they claim that it was knocked off of Mars by another meteorite. A great meteorite flung through space and smacked into Mars and broke off this little chunk of clay that then went out flying through space and fell down to Earth in Antarctica, right in a big puddle of clay. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that right here on Earth, there are microbes that eat rocks and live in clay and eat crystals. Did you know there's microbes that eat granite? And they live in rock right here on this earth. Did you know that? Did you also know that as some rock crystallizes, it takes the shape of biological organisms on a microscopic scale? That's a scientific fact. But nothing that NASA is telling us is a scientific fact. It's not even science fiction. No good science fiction writer would ever write this bullshit. And boy, do they think we're stupid.
They could be microfossils from Antarctica or microfossils from Mars.
Did you hear that? That was the NASA scientist who announced that they proved that there's life on Mars with this little potato-shaped rock. And he says that what they found in this little potato-shaped rock could be microfossils from Antarctica. He admits it. Or he says it could be microfossils from Mars. But you know how they proved that this little rock came from Mars? Well, they compared it to the makeup of another meteorite that came from Mars. How did they prove that the other meteorite came from Mars? Well, they can't, ladies and gentlemen. They can't. Out of all the planets that must be out there in this universe, all over the place, and all of the suns and the junk and the asteroids and just the crap that just floats around out there from who knows where, this little rock came from Mars.
It is our interpretation, the one that we favor is that these are, in fact, microfossil forms from Mars.
They'll have to go a much longer way in their research to prove it.
The biological interpretation at this point, I claim that, in my opinion, it's probably unlikely. But it's possible to do additional science to answer these questions, to test this, and move it up the confidence scale.
And that's only the beginning. The material will be reviewed by scientists all over the world who will be searching for flaws in the discovery team's theory. It's part of the scientific process. NASA Administrator Daniel Golden agreed that no one can afford to take it without question.
It means we're right on the edge of a potential unbelievable discovery that's going to rock our world if it's true.
That's going to rock our world if it's true. First, he says that the NASA leader, Mr. Golden, why is it there are so many Goldens and mixed up in this New World Order thing? This is beginning to make me extremely suspicious, ladies and gentlemen, especially following on the heels of Israel's admission that they control the Senate and the media and the White House in this country. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking Jews. I'm talking international Zionism, which is one of the four elements of power that are trying to bring about world government and destroy this country. No doubt about it. Not at all. The other three are the Vatican, French Freemasonry, and British Freemasonry, to which the Scottish Rite in this country and the York Rite are tied forever. Wow.
To the left. We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Man is inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. What else are they telling us, ladies and gentlemen, about this rock? All of a sudden, on the Communist News Network, they begin to say that since that rock was broken off of Mars some 16 million years ago, and the rock itself is some 15 billion years old, that maybe life on Earth actually came from Mars, and the civilization that used to live there has died out. All based upon nothing. No science, no scientific evidence, nothing but sheer bullshit. And I predicted it. I told you this was going to happen. And by golly, it has happened.
And it may change the way we think about life in the universe in general.
If it originated in this solar system and on more than one planet on this solar system, then why wouldn't it originate on planets or in other solar systems? And we're just beginning to learn that there are planets around other stars. We're just beginning to detect them.
You hear that, folks? And what is the inference? The inference is, if there are these microbes on Mars, then there is life on other planets. And in the next few days, you're going to see on the internet, you're going to hear in the UFO groupie loony bin ufology movement that now it has been proven that extraterrestrials exist. And the fact is, nothing has been proven. Nothing whatsoever. They haven't even proven to me that it's even a rock. And knowing what I know about all the hoaxes they've perpetrated in the past, it may not be. We'll have to wait and see on that. The jury is still out.
While he tries to be skeptical, Dan Golden is clearly thrilled with the very idea that something like this could have happened on his watch.
It took dedication and brilliant minds. And we have 10 spacecraft scheduled to go to Mars in the next 10 years. It's there. We'll see results year after year, and the American public will share it with us.
We'll see results. See, he's telling you they're going to get results. Not that we might. Not that we may find it. I told you years ago. They are going to produce it, whether it's real or not. They will invent it. They will create it in a laboratory. They will explore genetics and cloning and surgery and everything that they can in order to come up with something that they can present to the people of the world as extraterrestrial life forms. And if they're lucky, they'll be able to produce one that can talk and think. Maybe out of some aborted fetus. Never thought about that, have you? And what are they doing with all these cattle parts that are being taken across the country by these mysterious helicopters that mutilate cattle and then drop them on the ground and leave them lying there to terrify people? How about that? And you heard him say, we've got 10 spacecraft ready to go to Mars over the next 10 years. Wow. They need a lot of money at NASA, don't they? They need a lot of money, and they need public approval to get that money to build the great wasteful space program that was described in the report from Iron Mountain.
Beyond that, there's hope of sending people out there sometime in the next century. And it may be that other spacefaring nations will join the effort.
And there you have it. And it may be that other spacefaring nations will join the effort. Now, if you want to understand what this is really all about, go watch 2001, which gives you the whole history of the mystery religion, the mystery school, brings you right up to Jupiter. And then watch 2010, and then watch 2000 and whatever it is, 60 or 65, and you'll have the whole story laid out that they're giving us right now. And just wait. At some future date, they're going to tell us that there's life on one of Jupiter's moons. And guess which moon it's going to be? It's going to be the same exact moon that Arthur C. Clarke described as the one, remember when Jupiter blows up and becomes a sun, and Jupiter's moons then become planets, and this mysterious voice comes over the radio in the spacecraft and says, you can have all the moons and all the things and everything except for one, Europa. 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 You watch, another William Cooper prediction will come true. And I've said this before. Isn't it amazing? Absolutely incredible. Why? I just can't stand it.
Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellects vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Wow. Oh, man. I just can't stand it. This is the most incredible thing. And guess what, folks? You can all be entertained tonight. Because I gotta tell you, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on CNN, at 3 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 a.m. Eastern Time, 2 a.m. Central, 1 a.m. Mountain, and midnight Pacific Time, they're going to replay on CNN the NASA press conference from which all of this bullshit came. And we can all sit there and laugh together for hours. Because I think that's about how long it takes. It's going to take a long time. and you're going to see the double talk right in front of your eyes. You're going to see the admissions that what they're telling you isn't true. Because they're going to tell you, first, that they found evidence that life existed once on Mars, and then they're going to spend about a couple of hours telling you that it's not true. But the only thing that the media has heard and broadcast, and the only thing that the American people are listening to, is there's life on Mars. ETs are real. There is a threat from space. Ladies and gentlemen. And, I find
you ain't nothing but a hound dog. You cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You cry all the time. There you ain't nothing but a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine.
Yes. Over the people who, when you call them up, aren't going to tell you that there are St. Gaudens $20 gold pieces on Venus. No, sir, but they'll tell you that they've got some in their vault, and they'll make it available for you. And if you want to, I'm sure they could find you a space coin. They could probably find you a NASA coin. They could probably find you an extraterrestrial coin, if that's what you really want. In fact, they could probably find you any kind of coin that you ever dreamed of in your life. Because if it's made out of precious metals and exists anywhere and you want it, they can get it for you. Whether it's a numismatic, a coin that has $10 worth of gold in it, but you're going to pay $50,000 for it, or whether it's a regular gold coin that is worth the gold that it's got in it, or whether it's gold bullion, or whether it's commemorative metals, or what. But remember, I recommend that you buy gold and get it as close to what it's worth as you possibly can from somebody who sponsors What Helps You, which is the hour of the time, which means buy it from Swiss America Trading. And don't sell it, ever. Don't ever sell it. That's my recommendation. You don't have to follow my recommendation. But you see, the reason I think you should purchase real money and keep it, hold on to it, not ever sell it, is because this phony, worthless economy is going to come crashing down around our ears. When it does, if you don't have real money, you're going to be up the creek without a paddle. Without a paddle. Without a boat. In deep water. No stilts either. So you better at least think about it. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And if he's back from vacation, Frank will be on tomorrow night with the Metal Report. So you can all look forward to that. Got a lot of letters saying that they missed Frank's Metal Report and that you look forward to it. So I do too. And I miss Frank. So hopefully he'll be back here tomorrow night. He was on vacation. I don't know if he's back yet. If he is, you'll hear him tomorrow night. In the meantime, call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. And do it now.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real. That was the Clatters recording. True, real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam. Would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land?
Jump back in the air.
Thank you. And now the thin gentleman there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar. What would you do, sir?
On the table on the sea.
Thank you. Tell me now.
That was the Pelican's Outer Space recording. Earth, I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed. We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Strategic Thinking Mode of the British Institute. The professor is approaching the saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you now. But you can't.
That was Lapping Lewis's record. Nothing.
The he's done Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the word of the first baseman ever to land on Earth.
Lob, bob, lee, mob, lob, bam, boom.
And now, here are the ball scores.
For the first.
The professor is approaching his saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you now.
That was Lapping Lewis's record. Nothing.
The team done Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the words of the first baseman ever to land on Earth.
Oh, bob, bob, loo, bob, lob, bam, boom.
And now, here are the ball scores.
4-3, 6-4, 8-1.
The impact of seeing the first baseman has this reporter reeling.
That was the Clatters again with their big one. Oh!
This is Donald Cameron again downtown. The spaceman has returned to his ship and is taking off. We return you now to our studios.
The flying saucer has gone. There is no threat of an invasion. However, the flying saucers are still around.
Ah, and that's the truth. Oh, yes, that's the reality of the whole thing. Let's go to the phones now. The subject is only the potato-shaped, rock-like spacecraft which brought Martians to Earth on a voyage that they began from Mars 16 million years ago. Good evening. You're on the air.
Of course it is.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Of course it's happening now. And it aligns up with Stonehenge, of course. And it's all there, Bill. All of Hoagland's speculation. We have a faith. I've studied the Tholus, the D&M pyramid. Yeah, true enough. The geometry is real, what Hoagland's talking about, but that doesn't mean the artifact is real. The geometry fits the picture, but they can manufacture that. That's the easy part. And have you think that the extraterrestrials have left, you know, the remnants on Mars, the Sphinx, of course, and now they're here. They're here. Independence Day. Happy birthday, America.
Oh, yes. And you didn't hear the other one. You know, it's no coincidence that they said that the first space probe that they're sending to Mars again now, of the new series, will land on Mars on Independence Day, July 4th, 1997.
It's incredible. It's truly a spectacle. It's too much. You're right on target.
Oh, it's over the fall.
The geometry works, you know, and people will say, oh, yeah, but did you see 19.5 degrees latitude and on and on and on. But that doesn't mean anything. We might have a face on Mars. I doubt we do. But that's Hoagland's big thing, as you know.
Yeah.
And now, well, it might be from Mars. We're going to have to compare it to the ones from Mars and Antarctica again, forever and ever, and employ people in useless speculation. And, of course, our good friend Bill will be right in there. Yes, the space program, of course. You know, whether Clinton, that's Clinton's decision or not, that seems pretty apparent anyway. I got to ask you something, just a bit off topic. He's a bit of a lump of clay to me. What's up with James Carville, Clinton's campaign director?
Oh, I don't know. He's minor potatoes.
Okay. He just irritates me. Anyway, I'll let you go, bro. Let's hear what other people got to say here.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Good night.
520-333-4578. What have you got to say about this this humorous day? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I tell you, it was a real riot watching CNN tonight. I watched Richard Hoagland and this astronomer from the American University playing good cop, bad cop. I mean, they're both so far out from the field. I was sitting here laughing. Just absolutely incredible. How they can determine that because a rock or a meteorite, supposedly a meteorite, that was found in an ice field in Antarctica, came from Mars through spectroscopic measurements that were sent back from the Viking craft, I just don't buy it.
Well, you can't buy it. You can't buy it at all. What they're saying is the gases in the rock match the gases in the Martian atmosphere. But the rock has been flying through space, and it's been on Earth in Antarctica for 16 million years this process took place.
I know they said it was very interesting that they could determine that by the depth of the ice, but then they said the ice sublimated or melted and then came back and then it went away again. I'm thinking, how do they have a record of this? It is just, there's no way it can be verified.
No, it's a total hoax. And besides that, when that meteorite came to Earth, if it even is a meteorite, I doubt if it even is, but if it is, when it came to the Earth and came through the Earth's atmosphere from wherever it came from, it got hot and most of it burned away, and the tremendous heat that this was subjected to going through the atmosphere from the friction of the air around it, and if you've ever gone out and seen a shooting star, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It tremendous heat would have burned up any, most of the oxygen that would have existed in there would have combined with the oxidizable minerals and elements of the meteorite, and most of the gases would have escaped or would have caused the rock to explode. When you see a shooting star come through the atmosphere and all of a sudden it explodes, that's because of the moisture and the gases inside the meteorite get so hot that it just blows the whole thing apart.
Right, it creates a plasma actually around it. Most of the meteorites you see on any clear night are no bigger than a grain of rice, even the brightest ones.
Sure.
Most of them the size of a grain of sand. This would have to be something substantial. But what got me most about his description of the meteorite, he called it a term that I'm not familiar with. It wasn't a Klondike, and it wasn't a stony iron. It was something else. But the fact that it had clay in it, that means it's a composite type of meteorite. It is not solid iron, like a siderite. It's not a stony meteorite. It's a mix. They're a very rare kind of meteorite.
Uh-huh.
Those, although there are some organic compounds that have been isolated in them, to say that you found what they're saying is, to me, such a leap of faith that it's, well, it has just had, they and Hoagland, in my opinion, have hoax written all over them.
Oh, no kidding. Not only that, but the first announcements were that they had definitely found life in this meteorite.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
Then you get down to it, people start asking them questions. It comes down to they didn't find life at all. What they have found is little shapes that look like they might have been life at one time.
And but crystal growth can imitate that.
Absolutely. There are no cavities in these things. They have found absolutely nothing that proves that these things are life or that they came from Mars. And the way they say they can prove it came from Mars, it just had me rolling on the ground. So I was just laughing so hard, is that they compared it to other meteorites that came from Mars. Well, how did they know that those came from Mars?
They don't know. It's empirical observation. They build these castles in the air, and if any one of the levels is wrong, the whole thing falls down. And for example, the distances to the nearest stars. We say we look at the star Vega and Lyra on a given night. Oh, you look in the textbook, it says it's 27 light years away. We don't have any direct way of measuring that. We have to use parallax to measure nearby stars, and then we go to Cepheid variable stars, and their pulsation is raised to their intrinsic brightness, and on and on and on. We are taking a lot for granted, and of course, in this instance, I think that the very fact that none of the evidence is, at least at this stage, is...
None of the evidence is even evidence.
...is even out. There is no evidence, and yet it's being... Well, it's par for the course for the media. Bill, I'll let you go, but thanks for a good show.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm just having a great time. I can hardly contain myself.
Can't believe I got you. I was just calling up. I had heard what you've been talking about, and I was truly amazed at what I heard around here. A lot of local radio stations had, and the AM radio stations had these, I guess you would call them scientists from NASA, were coming on talking about how, you know, that they had found this life.
I call them snake oil salesmen. They're not scientists. They're carnival hucksters.
I had the same question that you did. You know, how do they know that this little piece of rock came from, you know, one particular planet or even from an asteroid? Or how would they determine that?
They don't. They can't. And they couldn't prove it to anybody, not even themselves.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm kind of like you. I've been quite tickled over the whole thing. And the things that that amazes me is they're blowing such a bunch of hot wind up everybody's butt, and people just eat it up.
Even the president was on television talking about it.
Sure. And
old Slick Willie.
You know, it amazes me to think that maybe that we're just, you know, it's like pushing a chain, you know, to get some people to realize that they're just being led down path.
Yeah. Well, we're not as dumb as they think we are. This is just incredible. And this coming from an agency which has already been proven to be a liar and a hoaxer. They've faked hundreds of photographs and tried to pawn them off on the American people as proving that we went to the moon in the Apollo space program. I don't know if we went to the moon or not in the Apollo space program, but I can tell you this, most of the photographs are fake.
Now, I'm just like yourself. I saw when I was in the latter part of elementary school, I saw supposedly the pictures of what they had on the moon and all that, and it kind of looked kind of hokey to me, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it is hokey because it wasn't on the moon.
Well, look, I sure appreciate your time, and I appreciate the program.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you for calling. Oh, I'm just having a great time, folks. And after this is over, I'm going to go down and you know, I may even pop a beer tonight and get ready for the big show at midnight. It's just incredible. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill?
Yes.
I just called to, I don't quite know how to say this, but I feel like we perhaps owe a little apology to the male bovine species. Like you, I use the terminology too. And unfortunately, we don't have any better terminology for this than just pure old outright bullshit.
That's right. You got it. Yeah, and it's unfortunate for the four-footed creatures that do nothing to harm anybody but walk around and eat grass.
Excuse me, Bill, but I've just been rolling on this thing.
Me too. All day long. You just don't know how much my sides hurt. I really have found this the best entertainment. I would give these people an Academy Award if it were within my power for the best comedy of the last 50 years.
Yes. I first heard it this morning, and I thought, well, here it comes. But then I hadn't heard the actual NASA release until you replayed it tonight, because I don't pay attention to their, pardon me, bullshit.
Well, what I played was just a small, tiny part. I mean, wait till you hear the thing. You've got to stay up tonight, and you've got even if you end up losing your job tomorrow, you've got to stay up and watch this comedy. It'll be on at midnight Pacific, 11 Mountain. I think it's I'm sorry. It's midnight Pacific, 1 a.m. Mountain, 2 a.m. Central, and 3 a.m. East Coast time on CNN. Communist News Network is going to give us the greatest comedy, the most wonderful entertainment that you could ever hope for.
Well, pardon me, but the bulls of this, not of this land, but of the world, the bulls of this world must be suffering. I don't know whether it's constipation or diarrhea or something.
Well, thank you for your call.
Good night, Bill.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello. Oh, he got cold feet. Chicken plucker. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Leonard. Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Leonard, who's that?
I don't know what I'm thinking right now. I wanted to say, you know, about your show. You know, WWCR, I don't know if you know it or not, but Sunday night, you know, they've got a new show on Sunday nights, with the Antichrist on it. And, you know, it's amazing to me, we got a Christian station here, they call themselves a Christian station, and they want to put a man who claims he's the Antichrist on the radio.
Hold it. The subject tonight is not that. The subject tonight is the potato rock from Mars.
Well, all I wanted to say was, you know, it's amazing to me they put him on and not want to let you have a primetime spot on the air.
Well,
or not want to move you up, yet they put the Antichrist on and this is a Christian radio station.
Well, maybe they're beginning to show their true colors. I don't know. But I believe in free speech. I believe that if there's a slot open and somebody's got the money, that you should let them take it.
Well, the thing is, you're a Christian. You're an American. You're a patriot.
Not only that, but they promised it to me for the last 4 years. But that's not the subject. Thank you for calling. Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. And folks, the subject is the potato spaceship that carried the Martians to Earth 16 million years ago. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Cooper, I got a more likely story.
Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Spock went up in the Starship Space Enterprise, Spaceship Star, get it all confused, the Enterprise.
Yeah?
And fed the Taurus constellation some of that propaganda we've been getting all this time.
Uh-huh.
And he dropped that thing on Mars and put it back here. And, of course, when they cracked that thing open, they found moisture in there that was left over from billions and billions and billions of years ago. And they discovered bullshit inside.
You got it.
Right.
Oh, I love this. All the bullshit haters are out there cringing. They'll probably never listen to this broadcast again, and that's okay with me because they're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, one guy actually had the guts to write me a letter. And he went on for 3 pages telling me how bullshit was offensive to him. But if I said BS or feces, that he understood that it meant the same. And but it was less offensive. That's hypocrisy, absolute hypocrisy, because it doesn't mean the same thing. Get the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language unabridged and look up the word bullshit, and in the context that I use it, it does not have anything to do with feces. However, all the comical and the sarcastic remarks being made by our callers tonight fit right in, and I love it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. One of the things that I thought of when they came out on this thing was the 13 years that NASA's held on to this thing. I mean, that really got me. I don't know. It's just... one of those wonderful, wacky things that you've come up, you know, that they're perpetrating on us.
Sure.
And but, you know, they've had this thing for 13 years. Somebody stumbled across it, probably, and said, oh, we've got something here we'll take and get the people with.
Yeah, one of the things that cracked me up today is they said that they've had it for 13 years, but they couldn't figure out how to explain that what they saw was life for Mars without being destroyed by the scientific community. Until now.
Right.
And if you listen to their press conference, they still haven't done it.
No.
And they aren't scientists. These guys are snake oil salesmen. This is the most incredible bullshit hoax. I can't understand how they could. And they look right in the camera with this serious look on their face. It's just, it cracks me up.
And then, of course, today I watching the news, and they got this guy that says, well, there's life on Mars. You know, and on it goes. I mean, it's just like, you know, somebody, I say something to you, you say it to somebody else, and by the time it gets back to us, it's nothing like it ever was.
Yeah, when you hear the press conference tonight, you're going to find out that at no time do they assert that there's life on Mars, or that there's life in that meteorite, or that it ever could have been life at all.
Right, it's just that they're out there, it's like everything else, that they're taking to get everybody scared and to the point where... we're just going to give up and roll over and play dead, and they're going to walk all over us.
Yeah, but look at the reaction of the sheeple, and look how the media has taken this ball and run with it across the world, and how everybody is saying, oh, they've proven there's life on Mars, ET is real, and it's all a lie.
Right, it is.
It's incredible, and I predicted this would happen. I can't believe it. I'm right again.
Yeah, you are. You keep me going every night, being legally blind is sometimes I sit here and I feel sorry for myself and I say, oh God, I can listen to this, and you know, but this is comedy of essence. It should be bottled and taped and on the world, this press conference.
Oh, I think I'm going to make a tape of all of this. I'm recording everything.
That way, there you know, in a few days years time when the whole thing is coming around the other way, you can say, well, this is what was said, you know, because this whole thing will be discredited in. Everybody will forget what was on.
Yeah.
So if you can get some tapes made, you know, maybe if everybody out there makes a tape, we'll have enough tapes to go around and, you know, keep this thing so that we can throw it in their faces from now on.
Yep. Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
And don't feel sorry for yourself because you're legally blind. Find out something that you can do and that you can do good and that you like to do, and your life will be wonderful. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Cooper. I was thinking before you go off the air, if you could give us NASA's address, because the reason being, I've got these rocks that I think might have life. But they're living in my neighborhood, see, and
my daughter found a rock walking across the backyard this morning.
Yeah, I know. And the reason we all think, you know, that they might have life because they have these funny English-looking letters, you know, things like PhD and BIA.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we ought to, you know, if you could give out NASA's address before you go off the air, I'm going to box up a whole bunch of rocks and have them inspect them tonight.
You know what? I don't have NASA's address, but I'll get it tomorrow. Let's everybody listening, get you a box and get some rocks. Let's everybody send NASA rocks.
Right.
Let's just send them every kind of rock that we can find from everywhere, and let's paint legs on them and eyes and all that kind of stuff, and let's just, you know, let's make a lot of fun out of this.
Well,
let's bury NASA in rocks.
Sure.
Living rocks with eyes and noses, and let's paste little arms and buttons and put little, you know, jackets on them and everything.
Tater rock.
Okay?
Take care.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
I'm serious, folks. Let's do this. Let's bury NASA in rock mail. Let's send them rocks from everywhere. Living rocks, dead rocks, deceased rocks, autopsied rocks. Oh, yes, I'm going to do an alien rock autopsy film. I'll send that to them also. Wow. Well, folks, you know what? We've run out of time. We really have. I would love to do this all night. If I had 5 more hours just on this subject alone, I could probably go 3 more days. But we're out of time. So I hope you all stay up to watch the comedy on CNN tonight. The NASA press conference on their potato spacecraft that brought life to Earth from Mars and may have started the entire human race. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you.
I see trees of green, red.